on Women's Day. We're in conversation with Dr. Judy Dlamini, the chairperson of the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide Response Fund. Dr. Dlamini, I want to talk about the fund that you are managing and the approach that you have taken in terms of the kind of projects that you are actually supporting. Firstly, let's just talk about how much you have received so far as a fund and what you've been able to disperse.
Thanks very much, Kathy. As a fund, we've received a total of 163 million rand, and about 30 or so million rand of that is donations in kind. And by that, I mean pro bono services by different firms, but also funds that are directed at ensuring that there is working capital for the fund. So in the 18 months that we've been in existence, we had to do an analysis of the National Strategic Plan for Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, which guides solutions that we bring to eradicate the scourge. And looking at the six pillars, it was clear that with the funds that we had available to us, we wouldn't be able to address all six of them. So it was important for us to say, where would we have the most impact? Where addressing an issue within a pillar will have an impact on other pillars and draw us closer to eradication of the scourge. So we chose pillar two and pillar three. Pillar two, which is prevention, social cohesion, pillar three, which is about social justice. So when we went out to call for proposals, we were focusing on those two pillars. But the other thing that was important for us was that there is a challenge of mental health that we don't talk about as much as we should. And with COVID, which is has been with us for more than 2 years now, there has been an exacerbation of mental health. So we were very keen that the companies, the CBOs and the NGOs that applied for funding would also have an element of addressing mental health. So we went out, and the result of that call for proposals was 110 community-based organizations. Now they are 108 because two fell through, and four intermediaries. It was very important to us that, you know, when it comes to, earlier on, I spoke about solving for the weakest and the most marginalized. You find that big NGOs have better access to funding. So it was important for us that we were quite deliberate when we're looking for CBOs, that we find those that don't have as easily available funding as the big NGOs. We were deliberate about that. We were deliberate about making sure that we cover urban, rural, and informal settlements. We were deliberate about ensuring that all different provinces are covered. Now, someone can come and say, well, then looking at the funds that you have, you are spreading yourselves thin. Now, there was a reason behind that. If you look at the response fund, it's an interim measure before we have the National Council. So what's important for us is to build the networks across the different CBOs that are marginalized, expose them to funding, help them to build capacity. So that to us has been very important. But we went further than that. When you look at the SAPS statistics, they talk about the 30 hotspots. Working with academics who were advising us without expecting anything in return, we identified 45 hotspots, and that informed our allocation of funds. So as a fund, it's very important for us to collaborate, to network. And we are grateful to the companies that have been with us from inception. But we are also very grateful to the academic institutions that have worked with us and continue to work with us. If you just look at the Flip the Switch campaign, we are talking to all 26 universities and TVET colleges, which are 50 in number, where we want to activate. Actually, in some of the universities, it has been activated already, but we are doing this to create awareness within the young men and women in our tertiary institutions and outside those, because awareness and an engagement on the challenges we face as a country around this scourge is a way, a step towards building the social cohesion that will help us to achieve a peaceful society.
Dr. Dlamini, when we look at the tough talk that there has been in response to the levels of violence that women of this country are subjected to, whether it's in the private space or whether it is in the public sector, there has been a lot of tough talk. And I'm looking at this 163 million rand that has been raised, and it's not really looking down on the amount, but there's a part of me that says, well, expectations were actually a bit higher. One would have thought that, given what has been said, including by some corporates in the public, about how they want to contribute to the fight against gender-based violence, that the fund should have done a bit better and received a lot more funds than they have.
Well, that's a true statement and observation, Kathy. When we started off, we were hoping for 1.5 billion rand. And obviously, you can see that 163 million is very different to 1.5 billion rand. Having said that, because we are always talking to corporates, philanthropic organizations, individuals that have something to spare in terms of cash or in kind, we do hope that we can galvanize more support in terms of funds, understanding that there are challenges in the economy with the lack of growth, but also a lot of money went to address the scourge of COVID. But having said that, it is my plea to society, to the corporates, that we need your support, because our multi-prong approach works better with funds. You know, we need financial resources for us to fight the scourge.
Of course, a part of what it says is that we have lip service being paid to the problems that women of this country is facing. And it's quite devastating, you know, as I'm listening to you speak, talking about having to approach individuals, corporates, to give you what they can. It's almost like, you know, piecemeal, like just. You're asking for the bare minimum, and people can't even come to the table on that. And I think that's really telling of part of why it is that we are not winning this fight. Because if we look at the facts in front of us, there isn't that commitment. Because as long as there are no resources that can flow to either organizations, individuals that are doing work in communities that are responding directly to this violence, then nothing will change. And that is why nothing has been changing.
Very true, very accurate, Kathy. If this is anything to go by, just look at leadership anywhere, any sector. Today, we talk about the first woman to be premier in KZN. We've always had capable women. Does it really have to take one generation before we have one? It's simple things like that that people pay lip service to gender equality. But when it comes to practical experience, to practical action by our leaders, it's not quite the same, is it?
It really is an incredible problem and such a big issue, because again, if we think about what you were saying earlier about even just the JSE listed companies, how these are run by men, these are companies that, you know, have the kind of capital to be giving resources into a fund like the gender-based violence and femicide funds. But it shows exactly the extent to which they couldn't be bothered. They simply do not care, regardless of what it is that they say. Let me go to Promise Mtembu. Promise, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning to your guest.
Hi, Promise. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Durban.
Okay, thanks for the call. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't want to say Happy Women's Day because, you know, this is not supposed to be a social day. I can only say Aluta continua.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, and thanks very much for, you know, inviting the CEO of the fund to the studio. I'm calling and wanting to ask as to what is the best way of reaching the fund and applying for funding in the fund. You know, and I'm saying this because, I mean, we've tried many times to apply for funding, and we've even tried to reach the CEO directly. We work with a group of HIV-positive women who are victims of forced sterilization, 85 of them. 32 of them are now on psychiatric medication, apart from the counseling that they should receive. And the CEO will know that forced sterilization is one of the worst forms of violence against women. And the CGE and UN Women have actually found that these women are victims of torture, because forced sterilization is torture in international law. And we've really struggled to get funding for mental health. SANAC, the South African AIDS Council, you know, have, you know, basically dismissed us. And we're going to the fund because the fund is specifically for victims of violence. You know, and I mean, if the CEO can tell me what is it that we need to do so that these women are acknowledged as victims of violence and that they are supported.
And of course, Promise, we've spoken to you previously about the work that you have done in this space. But I think also adding to that, you've been an activist, you know, for different women's rights over a number of decades. I just wanted to add that to your resume. I felt that I shouldn't let the opportunity pass me by. So you've really been doing a lot of this work for a significant part of your life. Dr. Dlamini?
Thanks very much, Promise, for that call. And indeed, Aluta Continua, we are not emancipated yet. And thanks for the work that you do. Forced sterilization, of course, is the worst form of human violation. I'm not the CEO, Promise. I'm the chairman of the fund. Having said that, though, the GBVF Response Fund 1.org website is where you will get details of when there will be another call. There is no call out currently. And I must apologize, Promise, you are not the only one who's complaining of not receiving funds, because as we said earlier on, when we were hoping for 1.1 billion rand, we only received 163 million. And of that, it's only about less than 130 that is cash that we can distribute. So you are not the only one, unfortunately. I wish I could say we have funding for you. If you apply here, you'll find it. Sadly, it's a no for now, but we will continue to try and raise more funds and try and bring more CBOs to the fold, because we really admire the work that you do. And we hope that we will be in a position to assist with the work that you do. But sadly, I can't promise anything right now with the funds that we have.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were the CEO, but thank you very much for your honesty. And the activist question would be, why do you not have money? Where are the billions that the president committed to this fund and, you know, to the strategy? Where is the 6 billion?
Yes, there's a talk. The activists have been asking about the 21 billion rand that was spoken to. That had nothing to do with the fund. And I actually, as a citizen, believe that all leaders have to be held accountable. And if there are questions, they have to answer those questions. And yeah, I get you. But as the fund, we'll do our best, and we wish we could raise more funds. I find that sometimes you need a strong hand to say a percentage of revenue will go towards this. But it was our hope that we don't need to go that route before people do the right thing and support the fight against the scat through money.
Right.
Okay.
Promise? Yeah, I think, of course, Dr. Dlamini, they're being very diplomatic, but I think she's saying she too is waiting to see where that money that was promised, when exactly it's going to come. Dr. Dlamini, how much were you expecting from the state at all? Because I know that this is also a fund that was driven in the same way that COVID-19 was, with generating whatever resources they could be from the private sector. But how much were you expecting from the public sector, if any money at all?
The private sector is the funder of this fund, the private
Yes.
sector and philanthropists. The government has not funded the response fund. When it came to COVID, government funded the COVID solidarity fund, but they haven't funded this response fund. But I want to be quite clear that the presidency has been very supportive of the fund. Actually, if you look at the day that we were launched, more than 100 million rand was pledged, and over time we've been able to turn that into cash. And even as we speak today, in the presidency, Professor Olive Shesane is our support. She helps to guide us to potential funders. It just hasn't yielded the results that we are hoping for. So if you look at the description of the fund, it's private sector led. So we haven't received anything from government.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Judy Dlamini. I'll also take your remaining calls in a moment.
EFC returns this Saturday, headlined by an electrifying title fight between Iga Cabeça and Nerick Simos. Former champion Cabeça